In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints, on this, the second Sunday after Epiphany, as we consider how Jesus turns water into wine, listens to his mama, his disciples believe in him, and he gives credit to the bridegroom for something he didn't do at all, and he does it all at a wedding. Who are you praying for? When you sing those words, bind us together, Lord. For your marriage? For your children? For your mother and father? For your family? For your church? You know, you are taking a bit of a risk in singing that song and praying that prayer. To be bound to someone is not always easy. They can be very selfish. They can have great burdens of body and of soul. They can sometimes be very difficult to get along with. And by they, I mean you and me. Bind us together. Well, then you're bound. Your burdens have become my burdens, and they're heavy. My selfishness affects you, and it's a persistent beast, my selfishness is. Husbands and wives take a great risk in binding themselves together. Husbands and wives take great risks in having children and binding themselves together to them. And the children take great risks in honoring, serving, and obeying, loving, and cherishing fathers and mothers who sometimes don't deserve to be honored, served, and obeyed, loved, and honored. And to be bound to the church, wow. The church, she's a hot mess, isn't she, sometimes? All of the burdens and the selfishness and us hurting each other and us being hurt by one another. But Jesus binds himself to these things. They are good. Jesus' first sign in which he manifested his glory, he turns water into wine at a wedding, where husband and wife bind themselves first to God and then to each other. And one of the results is that his disciples believe in him. You know, people believing in Jesus, together binding themselves to Christ, all because of what Jesus has done and is doing, and then in him being bound together, the one holy Christian and apostolic church. And this sign of changing water into wine happens because Jesus has bound himself to a family. And in that family, he listens to a mother, even if she is placing a burden on him. Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Every time I do that reading, I try and say that word woman without offense, and I can never get away with it. Jesus, the text says of John, did his first sign at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. And both the word sign and the word manifested point us that this is revealing something that is inside of Jesus. Who Jesus really is. The whole Epiphany season is revealing about who this man Jesus is. This man Jesus is God. And namely, inside this God is love. And one of the things that this text points out is that inside that God is a love for marriage and family and the church. That is something that is inside of God, to love those things. A little after Jesus turns water into wine, St. John tells us that many were believing in Jesus' name when they saw the signs that they were doing. But John tells us Jesus did not entrust himself to them, for he knew what was in man. Do you get it? Do you see the contrast? Epiphany is all about revealing what's inside of Jesus. And Jesus knows what is inside of you. We Christians always need to hear what is inside of God, even what God calls good. Because what God calls good is good, even if we mess it up because of what is inside of us. Marriage is good. Marriage teaches us something about the love that is inside of God. Jesus blesses the marriage of husband and wife with his presence at Cana. God instituted the marriage of one man and one woman before the fall into sin. Marriage is good. Marriage reveals something about what is inside the love of God. Marriage is blessed. Marriage will always be good until the last day. But what happens when marriage isn't good is because of what is inside of us. Many are postponing or avoiding marriage altogether, now more than ever in our society. Divorce was skyrocketing until recently. It has plateaued, but it's only plateaued because less people are getting married. They're avoiding it. So of course there's going to be less divorces. There is such an impulse inside of us to think that marriage is good in our society, that there is a desire for our society to bless a so-called marriage between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a woman who calls herself to a man who calls herself, I don't know how this could go, but you know what it is. You've heard it. Lord, have mercy on what is inside of us. The family is good. The family teaches us something about what is inside the love of God. Jesus blesses the family with his presence at Cana. Adam and Eve are told to be fruitful and multiply before the fall into sin. And Noah is told the same after the flood. The first of the commandments regarding loving your neighbor as yourself is about the family. Honor your father and mother. Children are good. The family is blessed. Husbands and wives binding themselves together in sacrificial love, and often with the result of that love being fruitful and multiplying into children to sacrificially love. When the family is not good, it is because of what is inside of us. When lust seeks sex outside of binding yourself to one that you promised to be with till death do you part. When the desire to feel loved by someone trumps our reasoning that should know they don't really love us. When children rebel. When fathers and mothers neglect or choose paths that are good for them but that are not good for their children. Lord, have mercy upon what is inside of us. And the church is good. Jesus desires his disciples to believe in them. Disciples, more than one, bound together in Christ and then with each other. God gave Adam and Eve his word and his love to receive his commandments and to obey, and his promises to treasure his presence and to rejoice in before the fall into sin. He gave them to each other so that they might help one another fear, love, and trust in God alone. The church is blessed. The church is God's church. Sheep who hear the shepherd's voice. The church is one. One body, one family, because there is one God. But what happens when the church is not good is because of what is inside of us. Division. Cliques, greed, lack of faithfulness to God's word. Who cares what we sing as long as it entertains me? Who cares who the pastor is as long as she can bring more people in? Who cares if I don't go to church at all as long as I say I believe in Jesus personally? And the church is not good when its major message is not Jesus saves. The comforting truth that Jesus saves us from what is inside of us, because of what is inside of him. The church's major message should always be, look what's inside of God, His love. Look at Jesus. He shows us what's inside of God. Look at His love. Look at His forgiveness. Look at how He changes us from the inside out. The church's major message is Jesus saves. We, you and I, all of us who have sinned against God's good institution of marriage. Jesus saves we who have all sinned against God's good institution of family. Jesus saves we who have all sinned against God's good institution of the church. Jesus saves you. And Jesus forgives you. And Jesus is your light and your salvation. Your hope is not is what is inside of you, but what is inside of God and made manifest in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The church is not good when its primary message becomes something like, you're not welcome here because you're too sinful or you're not like us. We are all alike. We know what is inside of us, and we come together to rejoice in what is inside of God. So yes, it's a risk to pray, bind us together because of what is inside of us. But we pray that prayer being bound together with cords that cannot be broken, being bound together with love, God's love, which binds us together, first to Him, and then to each other. For He loves you with a love in which He has loved you to the end, that love that was manifest when His hour did come, the hour of His death, that glorifying death. The banner that we have before us and we've had before the Epiphany season is done by the one who's bound herself to me. God be praised for that. And it's when Jesus is before Pilate and He says, it is for this purpose that I came. For this purpose I was born, to bear witness to the truth of what is inside of God that will be manifest in His death and His resurrection for you. He loves you. And it's a love that is only inside of God and manifested so often in His miracles, even a miracle that He is here for you, to forgive you and to renew you and to strengthen you and to remind you that He has bound Himself to you. He knows what is inside of you, and He knew it. He bound Himself to a cross and took on our sin and our shame and the selfishness and the wrath that we deserve for so often messing up what He calls good. And He lives. He lives. He who turned water into wine, check this out, dear saints, water listens to Him. So when He binds Himself to water and says, wash them and cleanse them and make them My child, it does. How can water do such great things? When God binds Himself, it does. It makes you different. You are different. Your baptism makes you different. So different that when you hear the words, let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in the spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. You're so different that you actually want to do those things. And you want to be bound to God and your spouse and your family and your children and your church because He has bound Himself to you first with cords that cannot be broken. In Jesus' name, amen.